Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
We've been in a series, really now for 12 weeks, called Ridiculous Faith. And really, this series started because the Lord gave us a word that we called raise the bar, right? And bar stands for believe, act, and receive. And so we've been talking about faith and ridiculous faith, and we've been using Hebrews chapter 11 to talk about that, and we're moving right along in that series today. But I want to let you know that today's sermon really gets us to a place where we're going to be real close to wrapping this series up. And so after this week, we're going to do one more Sunday here at in Ridiculous Faith, and then we're going to move along to what God has for us next, whatever that may be. But for today, to start out, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 11, but I'm going to backtrack a little bit in our chapter from where we're at, and what I mean by that is I'm going to reread some of the verses that we've covered 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to combine them with some more verses today, and I'm doing that for us to fully get and understand the point I'm going to try to make about faith this morning. So Hebrews 11, I'm going to start with verse 29, and we're going to go to verse 38. Verse 29 to 38, Hebrews 11. It'll be on the screen for you as well. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. We talked about this on Palm Sunday. Anybody remember that? There's power in our praise, right? A shout can bring the walls down when God's behind it. Amen? All right, it says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, these are things people did through faith. They subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's not talking about from outer space, right? That's talking about other borders, right? Women received their dead raised to life again. Now, hear this out. This is still by faith. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Interesting statement. The world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. So that's a lot right there to take in, right? A lot of what faith does, what these people did by faith. But what I want you to see through today's sermon is this about faith. Faith sees God in everything. Okay? This is the first thing. Faith sees God in everything, and faith in God can get you through anything. I want to say it one more time. Faith sees God in everything, and faith in God can get you through anything. Now, I am of the firm belief that believers and non-believers, Christians, non-Christians alike, we can all really have a distorted view of what the Christian life is really like, okay? So my goal today is to read, to teach, and to preach the Word of God in such a way that it would bring our views of God and God's ways more and more in line with the truth of God's word. Not just an opinion, not just what a denomination says, not what another pastor says, but what does the word of God itself say, okay? So we read, we teach, and we preach God's words for unbelievers so that they would embrace the grace and the love of Jesus Christ and God our Father, and they would accept him and become believers and disciples of him, right? And we do that on the basis of a true picture of what it is rather than a diluted or distorted one. Okay? So we read, we teach, and we preach for believers as we gather together, right? So that we can live our lives on the basis of the true views of God and what His Word says, not someone's private interpretation. Okay? So I believe this portion of Scripture in Hebrews 11, it helps shed some light on what faith is and the kind of life that it does or does not guarantee. Okay? We're going to talk about it all. Because there are many who teach that the life of faith or being a believer in Christ will give you nothing but health, wealth, and sunshiny days. And if you're lacking in those areas, it's because your faith is lacking, but I have not found that to be true in Scripture. Okay? It's kind of like Pastor Reed used to always say. He said, just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're going to tiptoe through the tulips the rest of your life. We still live in a fallen world, right? But I've had moments in life, if I can just be candid, right? I've had moments in my life where I felt that my faith was weak. And in that moment of my weak faith, I saw God show up and move on my behalf in a mighty, mighty way. And then I've had moments in my life where I felt that my faith was so strong, right? And I was so sure that I was going to see God perform a certain type of miracle or work in a certain way, but I did not see what I was expecting. And then I never really understood that. To be honest, I still don't fully understand that. Why that is, why that was. My only answer to those things is that only God knows, but I still trust Him. I still trust Him. I can tell you this, Hebrews 11 and these 9 verses that we just read together, they really helped me with that a lot. It may not give us all the answers, but it gives us a better understanding. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. And there's a few sermons points that I want to point out to you in this sermon. And the first point is going to be this. Through faith, they're going to throw it up there, I think. There we go. Through faith, God can and He does work miracles. Through faith, He can and does work miracles. And when I say miracles, I want you to understand those are things that transpire that can only be explained through a divine act of God. Now, we're given examples of these miracles that are listed in what we just read, right? By faith, right, the Red Sea was divided. It was split in two. They walked across on dry ground. That's a miracle. Anybody, can you agree with me? That's a miracle. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. They literally shouted, and at the shout of praise, the walls of a fortified city came crashing down. They fell flat, right? By faith, the mouths of lions were shut. That's talking about, he's mentioning Daniel right there in the book of Daniel, when he refused to stop praying, but he openly prayed in his window, and the king and his leaders threw Daniel into a lion's den, but he was unharmed. He didn't even have a scratch on him. He probably used the lion as a pillow, and he rested there in the lion's den, right? The mouths of lions were shut, hungry lions, and he just slept with them. That's a miracle. By faith, the burn of fire was quenched. That's talking about the 3 Hebrew boys, right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were thrown in the fiery furnace of King Nebuchadnezzar because they refused to bow down to idols. But yet, when they were thrown in the furnace, there were 3 of them, and it says the king saw 4, and the 4th was like the Son of Man. And they were walking around, and they came out of that fiery furnace that not only were they not burned, but they didn't even smell like smoke. That's a miracle, right? They walked through fire. It said, by faith, people were raised back to life from the dead. That's a miracle. Can anybody testify? All these are what we call miracles, where God breaks into the normal way that things work and in an extraordinary, supernatural way makes them work differently. He's able to do that, right? And that's one of the ways that God works through faith, through miracles. But I want you to understand that God also works in everyday life. Everyday, ordinary events or obstacles that may seem less extraordinary, it may seem less miraculous, but nevertheless, God is still in them. I like to call them God winks. Anybody ever experience a God wink where he just lets you know he's there, right? An act of providence from God. The acts of God that really aren't what we consider miraculous, but if we believe what we say we believe, we know that He's in them. He's at work in them. Sometimes it's just the ordinary day-by-day protection and care He provides for us. Things that we may look at in our ordinary fleshly eyes, and as we observe them, we wouldn't necessarily say a miracle took place. But if we looked at them through the eyes of faith, we could see what we call the invisible hand of God at work. Right? We sing that song. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when we don't see it and feel it, we got to know and believe He's working on our behalf. All right, let me give you an example in our text. It says Rahab received the two spies. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And she took them and she hid them on her rooftop. Right? We look at that and we would say, that wasn't miraculous, but we know God was in it. God was in it. God was using it. Right? In generality, as it's mentioned in what we just read, verse 33, David and others, they conquered kingdoms. They established righteousness with no other specific details right there about how they did that. That sounds great, but not miraculous, but we still know that God was in it. Others were strengthened in weakness, escaping the edge of the sword, winning battles against other armies, sending other armies running. Again, with no other details, those statements sound great, but it doesn't sound miraculous, but we know that God was in them. Just sometimes the everyday acts of care from God that He does for us that we sadly many times don't give Him credit for, right? I'm like even waking us up this morning. With breath in our lungs. That's a gift from God that we should thank Him for. That's the miracle of life. Something like this. There was a couple months ago, it was around 10 o'clock at night. I was called with an emergency to go to a hospital and minister to a family. So some tough stuff was going on, and I was there to the early hours of the morning. And so after I left the hospital and headed back home, I live in Calhoun, and close to my home, there's an intersection between Curtis Parkway and Deuce Pond Road, and there's a traffic light there. And so I want to say it was between 1:30 2 a.m. I was sitting at that traffic light getting ready to turn to go home, and so I'm just sitting there waiting because my arrow was red. And as I'm waiting, I'm tired. I'm ready to get there, so I'm kind of anxious to get there and plop in the bed. But when the light turned green, the arrow turned green, I started to hit the gas. And as soon as I did, I felt something in my gut say, wait. And so I just hit my brake. And as I did, there was a car come through that intersection the opposite way. I'm talking about they were flying, never slowed down, straight through. And if I would have went ahead and been turning, I guarantee they would have plowed me. And I kind of just sat there kind of stunned because I was really tired, almost half asleep, you know. I was almost home. And I was like, whoa, it woke me up. And I'm like, man, if I would have been turning, that would have got me. It would have got me. And it was just like I had this check. And I know it was from the Holy Spirit. And it was just an everyday act of care from God. I wouldn't say that it was miraculous, but he was just looking out for me. And I know it was Him, right? So God works through faith at times to do miracles. But point number two is this. God also works through faith in our ordinary day-to-day lives, even when it doesn't seem miraculous. He's still at work. And I believe that that is the point that Paul is trying to make to us in verses 29 through 35. That both the extraordinary miracles and the more ordinary acts of God and provision and providence for us, they all come by faith. It all comes by faith. God works through both miracles, and He works through ordinary day-to-day things to bring earthly help and deliverance to His people. Okay? That's my first two points. Here's my third. I don't know if a lot of people's going to like this, but this helped me in understanding some stuff, okay? And some questions that I believe we all deal with from time to time in our Christian walk. Sometimes the miracle or sometimes the act of God that comes through faith does not look or feel like we want it to. Okay? It may not always come in the way you're expecting it. So it's not our way, it's His way. Sometimes God works through faith to help us endure. And there's a lot of scripture on that, okay? What does that mean? It means that God gives us strength to keep going when everything in us wants to quit, right? It means by faith, He'll give us strength to keep going even when the situation at hand on all sides of us says we should give up, right? He gives us strength to keep going even when everyone else has already given up hope. But we don't draw back if we have faith in God, because our faith in God is the substance of things hoped for, right? So because of what happened to us, or what we've been through, or what we've seen others go through, despite all of that, God can give us strength to keep going, and in many cases, that in itself is a miracle, right? I quote Pastor Reed a lot because it's who I grew up under. I've heard him my whole life since I was 11 years old. But he used to say all the time, if some people have been through half the things you've been through, honey, they'd be in a nut house, right? But sometimes God gives us grace. He gives us strength to get through and keep going. He gives us everything we need. How am I able to say that? By reading the words we just read today. Watch this. Paul's listing out all these great things, whether you consider them miraculous or not, and he's saying all of these things came by faith. And without a break in the list of things, Paul continues in verse 35, right after he says people were raised from the dead to life again by faith, and he says this. Now listen, all these things are still by faith, whether we like it or not. This is the word. Verses 35 through 37. By faith, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. By faith, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Y'all don't shout me down. I know this is a shout. I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. By faith, they were stoned. They were sawn in two. That means what it means. They were sawn in two, cut in half. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Now listen, for some of these things happened because of their faith. And they were able to endure those things because of their faith. Because of their faith. Now, we got to understand, God didn't cause the bad things to happen. God is only good, right? This is a staple here. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's get it out of the way. God, good. Devil, bad. Oh, okay, let's go. Let's get everybody. There's new people. They're catching on. God, good. Devil, bad. It's so simple, but we lose sight of that sometimes. We lose sight of that. There's a family here, and they said they were driving down the road one day, little Wade, and they said Wade was in the back seat going, God, good. Devil, bad. But, hey, it's so simple a child can get it. Right? Right? That's the gospel. It's good news. It's simple, right? God's good. Devil's bad. So God is good. And when the enemy comes in and tries to steal, kill, and destroy, God gives us strength to endure through faith and gives us the promise of life, whether that's here on earth or beyond this earth. He gives us the promise of life. Now, I realize this is some hard preaching. It's a tough pill to swallow. But a lot of times, amen, Wayne Jones, we need it. It needs to be swallowed, right? Anybody remember when you went from liquid medicine to trying to swallow a pill for the first time? My mom used to hide pills in applesauce. She'd put it in a spoon and applesauce. She'd take the spoon, and then I'd be like, spit it out, right? I remember when Evan never took medicine well. When he was a toddler, I used to have to hold him just like this, and him kicking and screaming, and Mando with a syringe, force medicine in his, because he'd be running a fever, but he wouldn't want to take Tylenol or anything. So he never took medicine well, but then as he got older and he was moving from liquid medicine to pill form, the doctor started prescribing him pills, right? I remember we're trying to get him to swallow a pill. He's like, all right, I'm just going to do it. And so he grabbed a pill. Do you remember this? Yeah, okay. And he put that pill in. He'd try to swallow it. He'd go. I guarantee he spit that thing out 6-7 times. But he endured, and he finally got it down. Amen? He was determined, okay? It was a tough pill to swallow, but it was good for him in time. Just right now, it might be a tough pill to swallow some of the things I'm saying, but it's going to be good for us in time, okay? Sometimes the miracle or the act of God that we are looking for does not come in a way that we were looking for it, okay? But listen to me. We're still to pray, declare, and believe by faith for miracles, signs, and wonders. And if we do not see those miracles, signs, and wonders, we are to keep praying and believing for the miracles, signs, and wonders. And you say, well, Pastor Andrew, how long am I supposed to do that? How long do I keep praying? How long do I keep believing? How long do I keep declaring? And I would tell you, till you draw your last breath, because God is able up until that point and even after. Somebody praise the Lord. There's nothing impossible for God to do. But if the miracle, or if the act of God does not show up, if it does not happen the way we wanted it or the way we were expecting it, it does not mean that God is not real. It does not mean that God does not care for you. It does not mean that God did not hear your prayers. It just means that God knows things that we don't. He sees things that we do not. And He will, through your faith in Him, give you endurance and strength to get through. Okay. Let's look back at two verses in our scripture that show us this. Portion of verse 34 says, some escape the edge of the sword. That's what it says. So by faith, because Paul's saying all these things happened by faith, how all these things, they transpired because of faith, by faith some escape the edge of the sword. Then in verse 37, a portion of that scripture says, they were slain or put to death with the sword. So following that same lead, by faith, some were slain by the sword. And then in another instance, some escaped and some were slain. Okay? It's both by faith. Let me read you this. This is Acts 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. But if you go and you read Acts chapter 12, you read the next several verses in Acts chapter 12, you'll find the story of how King Herod actually arrested Peter as well. And he had the same intention. He said, I'm going to make a spectacle of Peter, and I'm going to kill him in front of all these people. Right? But what happened was, people were praying, and while Peter was in prison, the Lord sent an angel that loosed Peter's chains and led him out of the prison right to the place where the people were praying for him, right? It was a miraculous deliverance. Now, that didn't negate James's faith. One died by faith. The other escaped by faith. Two very different scenarios in the same chapter, but what happened to them, whether it was great and miraculous, whether it was ordinary, whether it was tragic, it did not negate their faith. It did not negate their faith. So that's my third point. Sometimes God will sustain and strengthen His people through hard times, right? And we all are going to experience hard times. So having faith in God does not guarantee you nothing but good times and blessings. But having faith in God, does not exempt you from tragedy or heartache or sickness on this earth. But having faith in God sees Him in everything, and it helps you get through the good, the bad, and the ugly as it trusts Him through all things. Having faith in God says what Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says. Paul said, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And this is leading me to my fourth point. The common ground for faith that sees miracles and acts of providence by God, and the faith that helps us endure through hard times, is both of those believe that God Himself is better than what life can give to you now and better than what death can take from you later. We got to get that revelation. We've got to understand that. God Himself is better than what this world and this life can give you now, and He is better than what death can take from you later. When you have it all, faith in God says, God is still better. And when you lose it all, faith in God says, God is still better. Somebody praise Him. And I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm not just telling you what I think. I'm telling you the Word, right? This is the clearest illustration I could find out of today's Scripture. It says in verse 35, by faith, women received back their dead by resurrection, from dead to life, okay? Others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they may obtain a better resurrection. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think faith believes in a moment of torture? What do you think it believes in a moment of torture? Do you think faith believes in a moment of torture, well, if God loved me, He would get me out of this? Nope. Faith in a moment of torture believes that even if I die, God's got something better for me. The life He promises me beyond here is better than the miracle of escape at this moment. That's what real faith believes. In other words, faith is utterly in love with all that God is and all that He will be for us beyond this world. Beyond this world. Faith in God loves God more than this life, right? Faith in God, love. I know this is a strong statement, but faith in God, loving God, is stronger than family. Should be, right? Faith loves God more than a job. Faith loves God more than a retirement. It loves God more than your plans for ministry. It loves God more than writing books and building the dream house or building a bigger church. Faith in God says, I still love God more than all these things. These things are great, and I am thankful for them, but I love You, Lord, more. I love You more. Faith says He's our reward, according to Hebrews 11:6. It says that He is the builder of the city that I long to go to, Hebrews 11:10. He's the treasure beyond the riches of this world, the riches of Egypt, Hebrews 11:26. He is my everything. He's my everything. I believe that this is the great challenge in the book of Hebrews, to train, to teach, and to spread a death-defying passion for God in your own personal heart. That's my goal as your pastor. That's the goal of this church, to teach and to spread such a deep and a satisfying relationship with God through Jesus Christ that we rest in Him whether we're living or whether we're dying. Whether we're comfortable or whether we're miserable, we still trust Him. That is the aim, to teach and preach an unshakable confidence in God. And what He offers is better than anything this world offers. Amen? This brings me to my last point. Manny, you can get ready. Come play behind me. Here's my last point. Those who have faith in God and love God, while enduring suffering, going through hard times, right, and look still to His hope and to Him being better than this world, those people are a gift from God. I'm going to read verses 37 and 38 again. It says, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated people of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. What does it mean that the world was not worthy of these people? The world was not worthy of them. What that means is that they were a gift to the world, and the world did not or does not deserve them, right? Many things in this life are utterly opposite than the way it seems it should be. Here's one of them. You ever lost someone you loved and asked God, why you take all the good ones? I'm saying this because I'm about to be real with you, right? Why is all the good ones gone? Why does it seem like the good, the pure, the innocent seem to be taken? I struggled with that very heavily when my mother passed in 2022. Why her? I remember the first night I got the call. She called me. She said, Andrew, I've been diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a form of cancer, leukemia of the blood. And I was devastated. But I saw her in a process of many years endure. And she was graced with strength. Many people, she was very sick at times, and nobody would ever know it, because God graced her with this strength that was incredible, and this humility. But my mom was the most gentle, most humble, most godly woman I've ever known, right? And when she passed, I struggled. Why are you taking the good ones? I got some, and I know this is terrible because I'm a pastor. I'm standing behind a pulpit, but I'm going to be real. But I thought to myself, there's some other people I think you could have taken before her. And I thought of some people. Just being real. And I was wrong. I had to repent about that. But it's the truth. Why her? Why? And when I read this in Hebrews 11, it was because the world was not worthy of such people. They were actually too good for this world. When the children of God go through suffering, rejection, or when they're ill-treated and mistreated, and they endure in such a way that they show everyone around them still that their hope, their love, their trust is solely in God, what he's doing is he's giving a gift to the world. He graced the world. And it's actually spreading the love of Jesus abroad for people to see that, because when those who suffer die in an unshakable assurance of hope in God, the world is given a very clear message and a very clear picture. The Lord himself is better than life. I carry this Bible up here with me every Sunday. Many of you know this, many of you don't. But on the front is inscribed the last words my mother ever wrote. In her last moments on this earth, her last words were, now this is going through all kind of stuff, years of treatment, sickness. She wrote, keep praying and believing for a miracle. Don't ever give up. Endure. No respecter of persons. That's what she meant. He's no respecter of persons. God is good all the time. And the last two words she ever communicated was, pray, Andrew. When we feel like we don't have the strength to get through, you know what you can do? You can pray. And he will give you grace and strength in a moment of hardship and weakness to help you endure. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36 says this. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We talk about miracles. You know, the greatest miracle that you could ever experience in your life is the miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation, exchanging filthy rags of sin for the righteousness of Christ. That's the greatest miracle you could ever experience. And if you're here today and you've never experienced that, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. If everybody would please stand. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. If you don't mind, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I don't know that I've ever experienced the miracle of salvation. I've never really given my heart to Jesus Christ. I've never made him the Lord and Savior of my life, truly. And I want to do that today. If that's you this morning, if you wouldn't mind, just throw your hand up and put it right back down. If you hear this morning, you say, I need to give my heart to Christ. I see it. I see the hands. I see them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor Andrew, you know what? I'm saved. But I'm just not on the same path I was when I first got saved. I've kind of drifted. I've kind of went my own way instead of going his way. And I just need to come back home. Jesus gave a parable about that. It's called the prodigal son, where he kind of went his own way from his father's house. But this is what we need to understand. When we go our own way and we do whatever we want to want, the Father, our Heavenly Father, he's not sitting there angry and mad. He's sitting there waiting for you to come back home so he can bestow love on you. So maybe you hear this morning, you say, I'm just not where I need to be. Even though I have given my heart to Christ, I'm not where I need to be, and I know it, and I'm ready to come back home today. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Yeah, I see him. I see him. Maybe you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm looking, I'm praying, and I'm believing for a miracle in my home, my family, my life today, because I need God to work on my behalf. And you need some people to come into agreement with you for that. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it back down. Across the room. Maybe you say, I just want to recognize and be thankful for God in my everyday life and the daily provision he provides for me. And I've been taking that for granted. And I want a new attitude of gratitude and a heart full of thankfulness. And I realize I need that. If that's you, throw your hand up. I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but I just feel led to. Maybe you say, I'm going through some stuff. I need faith, and I need strength to endure. If that's you, throw it up. Throw it up. Maybe you're here this morning, you have questions. God, why? Why this? Why that? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And you just need grace to trust him. Maybe you're searching for peace. In certain situations, I believe you can find that in him today. If that's you, throw your hand up. Everybody look at me. Right? There were hands raised all across this room for many different reasons, okay? And we all got our own story. We all got our own walk with the Lord. But God is wanting to do something in you today. I haven't been able to stop thinking since last Sunday. You know, we had several people give their heart to Christ, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about, I told several people, I said, there is no greater joy in my life than to know when people find Jesus. Because I know what it did for me. I know how it changed me. And to know other people find him, there's no greater joy that I've ever known than for other people to find Jesus. There are people in this room that raise their hand to get to know him today. We're going to give you that opportunity to come up and do that. But I want you to know, if you raise your hand for any reason, I want you to come forward. Right? We say this year's word is raise the bar. Believe, act, receive. You've heard the word, go forth. You're believing it. You raise your hand, you responded to it. Act upon it. Come forward. You know, I'm not saying God can't move where you're at, but he responds to obedience. There are already some coming. You can come. If you raise your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't. Any reason. I want you to begin. They're going to sing. Just come forward. And let's let the Holy Spirit minister to people today. As they sing, would you come? Would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.